Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everyone. Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Thanks to Andrea Bernstein and Kurt Anderson for filling in the last couple of days. And the biggest thing that happened in the election campaign yesterday may not have been Mitt Romney's win in Wisconsin. It may have been President Obama's language in campaigning against Romney and the House Republicans.
This congressional Republican budget is something different altogether. It is a Trojan horse. Disguised as deficit reduction plans, it is really an attempt to impose a radical vision on our country. It is thinly veiled social Darwinism.
We'll hear more from the president and Romney and Paul Ryan coming up, the author of the budget. It's been more often the case in recent presidential elections that Democrats are painted as the ones too radical for America, and they play defense. The Obama campaign is apparently trying to flip the script. So let's talk about the presidential campaign with NPR White House correspondent Ari Shapiro, who also covered the Romney campaign last night in Wisconsin, and he is still there. Hi, Ari. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey,
hi from New
Brian,
York.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
First of all, any surprise in Wisconsin for you, or is this just another night for the unspectacular drip, drip, drip of the gradual Romney advance?
Well, there were no surprises in the absolute results in that we expected Romney to win, and he did. One thing that's been interesting to me is that in a lot of demographics where Rick Santorum generally does well, when you have these states that Romney wins by a wide margin, even those demographics that Santorum tends to do well in, the people who support the Tea Party, the rural voters, things like that, Romney ends up carrying those demographics in states like Wisconsin. The places he doesn't carry those demographics are in the Deep South states, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, et cetera. But frankly, those are states that are going to go for the Republican in the general election anyway.
But Romney only won by 5 points, didn't he, 43-38?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. So, you know, it wasn't the kind of landslide that we saw in a place like, I don't know, Illinois, but it wasn't the sort of squeaker that we saw in Ohio either, where he won by just 1 point after midnight.
And this is another proportional allocation or some kind of split delegate allocation state, so it wasn't 100% of the delegates. It's, that's the drip, drip, drip.
Yeah, it's a complicated math, but basically the most important thing to know is that the big winner-take-all states are done. So there's winner-take-all left in Utah, in Delaware, but the big states that are left, like Texas and California, have some kind of proportional device to divide up the delegates. And so when Rick Santorum talks about making great leaps and bounds forwards in the delegate count, the way the map is drawn just doesn't really allow for that.
Some things I noticed from the Wisconsin exit polls that surprised me, and maybe you can help shed a little light. Romney beat Santorum by 9 points among married voters, but Santorum beat Romney by about the same among single voters. Why would that be for the candidate running against birth control?
You know, in terms of the candidate running against birth control, Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum have staked out pretty similar positions on the issue of government funding of contraception.
Fair enough. One is more aggressive about it, though.
Right, exactly. And I think generally Mitt Romney has tended to do better with married voters, something that has worked its way into Mitt Romney's speech more often, as he talks about how 30% of single mothers are in poverty now. That's something that could be designed to try to win over some of these single voters that had been tending to go for Rick Santorum. But I think this is a split that we've seen kind of throughout the map.
Interesting. And another one, Santorum beat Romney among voters who considered Romney too liberal. No surprise there.
Mm-hmm.
But Santorum also won by 20 points among those who considered Romney too conservative. That was 13% of the voters in this Republican primary. They said Romney is too conservative, and they went for Santorum. Now, maybe this is just an oddity, but help me out with that one if you can.
That one baffles me. That's the first time I've heard that, and I'm at a loss to explain why that would be.
All right. Which brings us to President Obama. He is running on the notion that Republicans are too conservative for America, and he mentioned Romney by name for the first time yesterday. First, let's listen to Obama talking a little bit more about the budget, the Republican budget from Wisconsin's own Paul Ryan, the House Budget Committee Chairman.
It is antithetical to our entire history as a land of opportunity and upward mobility for everybody who's willing to work for it. A place where prosperity doesn't trickle down from the top, but grows outward from the heart of the middle class. And by gutting the very things we need to grow an economy that's built to last, education and training, research and development, our infrastructure, it is a prescription for decline.
All right. And as I said, the president mentioned Romney by name yesterday for the first time in real campaign mode, and he did it in the context of tying him to this budget. Listen.
One of my potential opponents, Governor Romney, has said that he hoped a similar version of this plan from last year would be introduced as a bill on day one of his presidency. He said that he's very supportive of this new budget. And he even called it marvelous, which is a word you don't often hear when it comes to describing a budget. It's a word you don't often hear generally. So, here's what this marvelous budget does.
And he goes on to talk more about the budget in terms of social Darwinism. He used that phrase and some of the other things from the clips we've already played. One more for now. This is from Romney's victory speech last night, campaigning against Obama.
Are you willing to say that it would not only be revenue neutral?
It is.
Sorry, that's the wrong clip. We'll get Governor Romney up here in just a second.
And, of course, you know our national debt is at a record high. And when you drive home tonight and you stop by the gas station, just take a look at the prices and then ask yourself, four more years of that?
So pretty much tit for tat now. That has begun naming names. We're talking to Ari Shapiro, White House correspondent for NPR, who is also covering the Wisconsin primary last night. He's still there. Ari, as I say, tit for tat now, naming names. Do you think yesterday actually began a new phase of the general election?
Absolutely. Mitt Romney has been attacking President Obama from the very beginning of this race. He always kind of acted like the presumptive nominee. There were certain periods of time when Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum wouldn't let him do that, and he had to pay more attention to the Republicans in the race than President Obama. Romney has always come back to focusing on President Obama, but the big change is that this is the first time President Obama has gone after Mitt Romney, as you say, by name, in a really pointed way, calling him out, and also connecting him with this Paul Ryan budget. For the last 4 days, Romney and Paul Ryan were inseparable on the campaign trail in Wisconsin. Ryan has been discussed as a possible vice presidential nominee for Romney. And so the White House has clearly decided that it's time, even before the final chapter is written in the primary calendar, to start attacking Mitt Romney, to try to define him in a way that the White House wants to define him, and not wait for Santorum, Gingrich, and Paul to drop out of the race.
How much do you see Obama as trying to flip the script in a historical context? I mentioned my impression of this at the top of the hour. The Republicans are usually the one accusing Democrats of being too radical for America, as in too liberal or socialist. The Democrats are often on defense in this kind of conversation, and often afraid to say directly that Republicans are too radical for America or too conservative. And Obama didn't say too conservative, but he said radical, because
right.
The U.S. has a lot of conservatives, and Democrats have a history of losing with that approach, trying to paint conservative candidates as too radical, as in the two campaigns against Reagan. Do you see this as a different tack historically?
Yes, and it's especially interesting in light of the narrative against Mitt Romney in the primary, which is that he's not conservative enough. But this is definitely a narrative that we're going to see from the White House and from the Obama campaign. It's something that we heard the Vice President Joe Biden saying even before President Obama delivered this speech yesterday. Joe Biden has become sort of the designated attack dog for the White House in the reelection campaign. He said, "This is the first time I can remember that the Republicans have not even been trying to hide the ball." He said, George W. Bush talked about compassionate conservatism, and he gave a couple other examples before that of how Republicans were trying to appeal to the middle. He says this is the first time the Republicans are going so right and not even bothering to try to conceal it. So you're right. This is a change in narrative, and it's something that the White House is going to try to capitalize on in the months ahead.
Did you learn anything from the Wisconsin primary results that seems relevant to the general election? Wisconsin is a battleground state.
Right. Well, the economy remains the top concern for everyone. And this is one reason that President Obama is talking about the budget and its impacts on the economy. It's the reason that Mitt Romney has from the beginning talked about his experience in the economy and the private sector, turning businesses around, turning the Olympics around. This battle is about and will remain about the economy. President Obama acknowledged in his speech that by the time the next president is elected or by the time he's reelected, there are still going to be real economic problems. There are going to be people looking for work. Romney said as much in his Wisconsin speech last night. He said, we'll put out the help wanted signs again after November 6th. We'll do it right this time. Everybody acknowledges that the economy is not good and will not be good by the time Election Day rolls around. The question is it good enough for President Obama to win re-election, or is it bad enough that people want somebody else to take the reins?
And some of the history feeding into Wisconsin as a battleground state. Obama did win there by 14 points in 2008, but then the state elected Scott Walker, the Republican governor, in 2010. Going back a little further, Gore and Kerry each won there, but by less than a point. So there is definitely a battle to be had in Wisconsin this year, which is also the home of House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan, whose budget was the president's main target in yesterday's speech. Ryan just recently endorsed Romney for president. And here is Ryan from Fox News Sunday last week, asked if his budget will redistribute wealth as he cuts the top tax rate to 25%, but closes deductions and loopholes.
Are you willing to say that it would not only be revenue neutral?
It is.
But also distributionally neutral, which means that the wealthy aren't going to benefit and the middle class isn't going to suffer.
I don't know. There's no way to know the answer to that question. But we do believe in a progressive tax system. That's why we have two tax rates. 10% tax rate for low and middle income earners, 25% tax rate for higher income earners. Whether it's distributionally the same as the current code, it's impossible to answer that question.
Paul Ryan answering Chris Wallace's question on Fox News Sunday a week and a half ago. So, Ari Shapiro, NPR politics and White House correspondent, that answer floored me, I have to say, and I mentioned it on the air last week, but I didn't have the clip. If you're going to change the tax code so much and say that it's revenue neutral in total for the country, in this climate, don't you have to at least make a case that it's not going to hurt the middle class? He just says, yeah, I'm going to lower tax rates so there's only 25% and 10%, and I don't know how it's going to redistribute wealth.
Right. Well, this is the Democratic attack line against every Republican budget proposal, is that it favors the wealthy over the middle class. And you're going to hear President Obama and Joe Biden, as they've already begun talking about it, hammering that home more, that this is a gift to the 1%. It's a gift, they say, to the oil industries and to other special interests that are donating heavily to Republican campaigns. The thing about the Ryan budget is that they say that there will be compensational cuts, that there will be entitlements that are cut back, that there will be deductions that are no longer in the tax code, but they're not specifying what those are. And so you have President Obama saying, are you going to take away college loans for people? Are you going to take away Medicare and Medicaid benefits? Are you going to take away senior citizens programs or, you know, Head Start programs? What are you going to cut? And until we know that, we just, you know, he says it's got to be something, and he says it's going to be the most vulnerable who will suffer because of it.
And so Obama trying to tie Romney to the Ryan budget, particularly, I guess that's something we'll be hearing a lot of.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have to say, in virtually every state that Romney has campaigned, he has had sort of a sidekick from that state. So in New Hampshire, it was John Sununu, the former governor and White House chief of staff. In South Carolina, it was Governor Nikki Haley. But I have not seen anyone, perhaps since maybe John McCain, who was next to Mitt Romney so frequently, where they had such a rapport, where they were making these sort of unscheduled stops together, joking around. The two of them really did seem to be spending a lot of time together. They seem to be very close. You know, the Washington parlor game of who the vice presidential pick will be is already in high gear, and I'm not going to make guesses. But I will just say that the dynamic between the two of them seems much closer and much warmer than with other sort of sidekicks that we've seen on the campaign trail with Romney.
That's really, really interesting, especially in light of Ryan's kind of, you know, conservative intellectual stature in the party right now.
Absolutely. You know, he's got conservative bona fides. He has intellectual bona fides. He's sort of this young, fresh face. He's great talking to a crowd and getting people ginned up. You know, he checks a lot of the boxes.
Is Ryan necessarily a winner in his home state, battleground state of Wisconsin? This is a state that also, you know, elected Russ Feingold a bunch of times.
Right. There seems to be a pendulum here in Wisconsin. As you mentioned, they elected Scott Walker, this Tea Party favorite. Now there is a recall effort underway, and there's going to be a vote in June on whether Scott Walker becomes only the third governor in history to be recalled from office. So I haven't seen recent poll numbers on Paul Ryan's popularity in the state, but certainly on the national level in the conservative movement and in the Republican Party, Paul Ryan is thought of as a superstar.
All right. Well, the general election starts here, although the next primary day on April 24th includes five northeastern states. Yes, New York and Connecticut are among them. So those candidates are going to be coming here, and we'll definitely talk about them and hopefully with them as they do. Ari Shapiro, NPR White House correspondent, thanks a lot.
Great to talk to you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a prominent group of medical boards recommending less use of some of the most common medical procedures. Stay with us.